One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, load of the waste of Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome. Let me try to think of a way to get to intro into this.
Do a baby voice.
Hello, and welcome to Rugrats.
I was trying to think of what my baby voice would be. Yeah.
Goo goo gaga, hello.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. I'm your host, David. I'm joined again by my fellow babies, Ryan.
Hello.
Mike.
Hi.
And big people, Nick. Or, as he's known, throughout the wasteland, Morton Hoof.
Hello.
I don't know about this, Tommy.
Oh my God. Well, we're talking about Rugrats this episode, everybody.
Talking rats.
There's no sense beating around the bush. We're still on our Nickelodeon high after having watched SpongeBob, and we're on Rugrats. And this was Mike's kind of request. You were kind of the big Rugrats stan of the group.
Yeah, I was a big rat head.
I was a big Rugrats fan. No big deal. From the ground floor.
Back in the day, this was my show. This and Doug were kind of my two shows I watched, but I would say Rugrats was, you know, S tier. Doug was the A tier show for sure. So it's definitely the Nicktoon I'm most familiar with. Probably the tune I am most familiar with.
Really?
I these episodes are like seared onto my soul.
Like all of them, like all nine seasons.
No, not all nine. You know, like
there a
most
point where you dropped off?
Like most Nicktoons, I dropped off after the movie came out. That's kind of like the capstone. So
when Poochie arrives.
Yeah, Poochie, aka Dill Pickles, which is a great name. Dill Pickles is fine. And I watched like a season after Dill, and then I aged out of Rugrats, I think. But
you became Angelica age.
Well, I wasn't. See, the magic of this show is they're babies, but the show is not for babies. The show is like for people who are probably like ages like 5 to 9. And it makes you feel old, like any good cartoon show for kids. It makes you feel older than you are because you're looking at the babies like, oh, dumb babies. Like,
you're dumb babies.
You're kind of like. I'm above all this. Like, oh, and you're looking back at
young. I think this show goes older. I think it's like 9 to 15.
No way. That's not the target demo. I mean, it works. It works for older, but that is not the intended audience.
No, I mean, I think younger than that is too young, really. I don't know.
I mean, that's the age I was. I was watching this when I was. I probably started watching it when I was like 5 or 6. And it would have been on a couple of years by that point. This is the first Nicktoon.
I was going to ask because like when the show starts, like the animation style, I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, wow, this seems like almost, I don't want to say rudimentary, but the animation style, it seemed old to me. Like it seemed like an older style type of animation. I almost get the sense that maybe their budget wasn't huge. Like the animation has sort of a, I don't want to say low rent style. Like I don't want to make it sound like I'm bashing the animation.
It sounds it reminds me of like a lo-fi style.
Yes,
if you will.
Lo-fi is a good term to use.
It was 1990, like when it started.
90. So,
it 90?
Yeah.
It was 1990.
Yeah, that's
fact check. I want to fact check.
I'm looking at Chattopedia right now, and it's saying the first episode was 1991.
Oh, okay.
Holy shit! And this was the premier Nickelodeon cartoon. Like, what was on Nickelodeon?
It was
at this point
Canadian shows, basically. Like Nickelodeon was basically just like buying old programming. I think they had like live action stuff.
Well, there's a lot of live
point.
Action. Like it was like the
Pete and Pete.
Was it all
going
on? A lot of game shows.
Game shows like the you can't do this on television. Wild and Crazy Kids.
Double Dare.
Yeah, Double Dare.
Okay.
Like,
what was that one?
But
with
on
the,
that fateful day,
American
August 11th.
Rip-off.
On August 11th was Rugrats, Doug, and Ren and Stimpy all premiered.
I think Ren and
Stimpy
the
same day.
I believe so.
Holy shit.
Okay, like all three came out at the same time?
Yeah, it was like now introducing Nicktoons.
Wow. That's surprising that it took so long for them to get cartoons on a kid-centric channel.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is like what there was, you know, in the original cable boom, a lot of channels were like, we don't need to like produce our own content. Like, we could just repurpose other stuff.
It's just nuts. It was around for like what it looks like it came out, started in 1979 is when Nickelodeon started.
Wow.
Speaking of the animation, Dave, you might be, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is the same, the people who animated this, Klasky Kusupo, that's the same people that animated the first two seasons of The Simpsons. So they actually, after they got fired from The Simpsons, they went on to do Rugrats.
It has like, this is how I kind of like, this is how lo-fi cartoons always stand out to me. They're like the animation, like if a character is just standing there, they'll have like a little wiggle to them. Do you notice that? Like when they move, they have like these weird movements, like they sort of like kind of, they're a little jittery and they're sort of like, I kind of attribute it almost like to a Dr. Katz level, almost like kind of a wiggliness to them slightly. Like it's almost like you can see the cells of their bit more, like they're pronounced, like the edges or whatever.
I do like the animation in this though, and it like it does a lot of fun stuff with like weird angles and stuff like that. Like it's not what you're used to, especially like in more modern animation where it's just like flat background and, you know, people standing next to each other talking. Like they'll do lots of weird, like from the ground up looking up, or dramatic angles, stuff that like early Simpsons did too.
Well they do a good job of, I think, nailing the perspectives that they need, since this is a show revolving around babies. Like a lot of low angle shots looking up, and just the show in general as far as the writing, like just in the episodes we'll get into here, it's all from the perspective of a baby, so it's their mindset and how they interpret the world, which I kind of appreciated that. Like, not to jump too far ahead, but I don't know if this is necessarily a show I would keep watching at my age now. I did watch it as a kid, but it's a little bit too 15-year-old, Mike, for me. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a good show. It's charming, but I don't know if it's necessary. It's not SpongeBob. Like, SpongeBob, I feel like, has a bit more humor that could lend itself to adults enjoying it. But Rugrats is a little more.
I think they were aging with the kids watching, probably, you know, with SpongeBob a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
that's probably true, yeah.
Because, like, I think, I looked at the movie came out in 1998. And I would have been about 12 years old. And I watched it probably for at least another year after that. So maybe 15 is a little pushing it. 13-ish. I think I can go with it. I think it's like like the demographic Nickelodeon was going for was like 8 to 17 years old. And
the 17! 17.
I think there's a lot of... Rugrats is, a perfect show for... Kids will like it. And adults can like be sitting on the couch while the kid's watching it. And like... look up once in a while and like chuckle at like a joke that the adult's only gonna get.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So Dave, you've seen, I'm now a well-known Rugrats stan. What's everyone else's history with it? Dave, you've seen Rugrats?
My history, so I've said before, as far as my cartoon watching habits as a child, Nickelodeon wasn't really in there. I didn't really watch it. I was mainly a Kids WB and occasional Cartoon Network guy, because I had to devote a lot of time to catching up on the antics of Jason Voorhees, so it didn't leave a whole lot of time for a bunch of cartoons. I could only have two networks, you know, and Nicktoons just couldn't fit in there. But having said that, I think out of the few times that I did watch Nickelodeon, for whatever reason, Rugrats was the show that I did watch from time to time. So this is the Nicktoon that I'm the most familiar with. Actually, it's really the only one I'm most familiar with that I have any firsthand experience with that I've actually seen. And when the episode started, like, there were so many memories that flew back to me, mainly with the intro. Like, I love this intro. It's the music, the zaniness of what's going on, the babies flying around. There's some fucking robot cat that, like, you know, like, walks like, like, that's like nightmare fuel. But I distinctly remember those things, the noises, and especially the, you know, the milk sound effect. The splatter sound effect is seared into my memory, along with the title card, the
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but that intro is seared into my memory, and it brought
another Mark Mothersbaugh classic.
Yeah, Mark Mothersbaugh.
Well, just the sound effects really, I don't know, they seared into my head. Like, I remember as a kid watching this and always laughing when he would, you know, shoot the milk out at the camera. Good memories with that.
It's like a straight up, like, disgusting wet fart sound effect.
Well, that's what you're talking about, the animation. Everyone's a little disgusting. Like, every character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all weird looking.
This is like a grimy show for sure. Like, there's something gross about everybody.
But
babies are gross. So
yeah, babies are gross.
Yeah, but so are the adults. They're weird looking.
People are gross.
You know? They look like the fucking mutants over from Sector 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear, Nick, did you watch a lot of Rugrats?
Yeah, it's funny. So contrasting this with the SpongeBob experience, where I was able to recall pretty much verbatim the episode, I watched a lot of Rugrats when I was a kid because, like I said, I had three channels going on, constant rotation, Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, and Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. And even though I watched a lot of Rugrats, I don't have as vivid memories of the episodes themselves. I know all the characters. I know kind of the personalities.
Yeah, same here.
But the actual episode, like I could recite a SpongeBob episode, but I could not do that for Rugrats for whatever reason. But I did watch a lot of Rugrats when I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah. This first episode I watched, I probably have seen 200 times. I probably have, like...
Really?
Like,
same.
I would rewatch them. I remember what the titles, when they came up. I would be like, oh, yeah, I love this one. Okay, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to watch Tommy's Naked or whatever, or Naked Tommy again, you know, kind of thing.
Like, tell me that's the name of the episode.
That's the name of an episode, yeah.
Naked Again is the name of an episode?
No, this is a Naked Tommy. I watched... It was because we picked some other episodes previous, but I watched a couple more after. Man. And I was like, oh, this is one of my favorites. I forgot about this one. And it's literally like him just like, they're like, you know, he's like a hippie. It's like free the diaper. And it gets all the rest of the babies on board to take off all their clothes. And then like the one of the parents is just like, what kind of hippie? Like she says a line. This is the one thing I wish that we didn't get an episode that has like all the parents. And then there's not a lot of Cynthia and Angelica in the episodes we chose. Maybe we'll have to revisit someday. But Phil and Lil's mom is wild. She's kind of like this, I don't know, what would you call, say what she's like, Michael? Like, she has the woman sign or whatever, or the female sign on her sweater. And she's kind of like butch a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm like afraid to watch it because I feel like she's like intended to be like a parody of like a 90s feminist.
Yeah. Well, this is what's funny is like when they all taken off their. This is the episode we didn't watch, so I was going to throw this out there. They all taken off their clothes, and
it sounds like the episode we should have watched.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounded creepy. I'm sorry.
I disagree, Dave.
Well, and then they basically, like, she, like, grabs the kid. She's like, what kind of thing you brought in here, Dee Dee? He's like, the 60s are over and we lost.
That's funny.
So I think that was really funny, I thought. And so she was just like she was
there's
like
there's recovering hippie jokes like that in this show, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. So because Dee Dee and all them, Dee Dee and Charles, Chucky's dad is basically just like, oh yeah, that's just like they're doing this thing, you know. Lipschitz says it's normal; they'll grow out of it, you know. They're like, so they're just a bunch of hippie parents. These
it's very 90s. Like they're like they're all the parents are. I feel like archetypes of like, you know, cartoon parents of the 90s.
They're different, I think, though. That, I don't know. There's something weird about these parents. Like, they're great. Like, well, there's something realistic about them.
They look weird as fuck. There's that. The mom is like, what's going on with the mom?
I love that. I don't know if we got into this in the episodes we saw, but Stu is a stay-at-home dad who is an inventor, but he still wears a suit and tie every day, which I appreciate.
Okay, so that explains that weird fucking cat robot. All right, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that's presumably one of his failed inventions.
They don't really get into a lot of that. They kind of start to build that kind of stuff, I think, later. Like, really, it's just like you don't know what they do, kind of like you're the baby's perspective. But later, I feel like in the later, because I jumped ahead a little bit, and I'm like, oh, they kind of get into what the parents are kind of doing, and it feels more like adult, like what they're saying to each other and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's really the parents are really cracking me up, I think, late this time around when they weren't before.
Yeah, the parents are definitely the parents' jokes are like for the parents who are watching the show. I feel like
that makes me wonder: did they ever do a follow up to Rugrats where they were older?
Yes. They did. Okay, all like grown up.
All grown up.
I think it's, they're like all teens.
All grown up.
All grown up. Perfect. How old are they?
They're like teenagers.
I think teens. I never saw that. That was way
bad. Bad.
Well, is it
not good?
It's just creepy and weird, and Tommy has like black hair, and it's like,
what the is, I was gonna say, like, is it basically Recess?
No, it's like going for like kind of like a teen thing. I don't know, like
thing
kind of. I don't remember. I didn't watch much of it. It was after the movie, and we would just catch a little bit of it every.
I think it
while.
Started like 2003 or something. I want to.
I don't
say.
Even think that. I think.
I don't think I've seen it. It was fairly late, and it was late enough that I didn't even have a slightest bit of interest. I've never seen an episode.
It makes me wonder. Yeah, like, right. are we due for a lega sequel, as they say, for Rugrats when they are now adults? They are growed up.
Well, you know, these days they don't do shit like that, David. Well, not these days, but like about the 20s, the 2020s, they don't do that. They have to go back to the source, you know, and make.
Are
the
you kidding me?
Bulbs.
They brought back Punky Brewster, for God's sake.
Well, they would just bring Rugrats back. They would just be like, hey, here's new episodes of Rugrats.
I guess, yeah.
It would
Did
be.
The Lego sequels die with Star Wars?
It might look
Did
something.
Did Rise of Skywalker kill the Lego sequel?
It might look something like this. And
CGI, okay.
But yeah, I do think in the new reboot, Tommy Pickles is a Palpatine.
Well, that's it's funny you mentioned that, because Tommy does sort of resemble Snoke.
Yeah, I mean, it was there all along. Clearly.
Yeah, I think that was the original inspiration.
I'm every voice in your head.
Well, that was what's her name that does Tommy? Fucking D. What's her name from the bike shop in Pee Wee herself?
She does Tommy.
What is it?
She does the voice for Tommy.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. That's crazy.
Dottie from. Wow. Think about it. Think of the voice from Dottie. It's just like, come on, Pee Wee. Let's go to the drive in. Think of that. Like,
I can't, Angelica. I'm a rebel, a loner.
Yeah, Elizabeth Daly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that at all. That's some cool trivia.
A Morton Hoof aside, because I know he's always been, you know, a Morton. Is it safe to assume that all of us would have been Chucky Finsters as little kids?
Yeah, who are you?
I was, in as much as my shoes had that same squeak when I walked. Like, Did you guys have that problem growing up? Your shoes would have that.
No.
No, I think you just had bad shoes.
I guess maybe I shouldn't have shopped at Payless so much. I don't know. I should have gotten some quality damn shoes.
Well, you probably didn't have a choice in the matter
at
age
good point,
four.
Yeah, good point. Mom, we need to stop shopping at Payless. Can we go to Foot Locker? Come on.
We have good shoes at home.
I don't know. It's kind of a mix. It's kind of fun about this. Yeah, I guess you can kind of place yourself on any of them. Probably a little bit of a Chucky Finster, but you know, you always think of yourself as a Tommy.
Yeah, but We were all Chuckies. I know it.
Oh, my God.
We were really a Chucky, but you kind of hope to be a Tommy.
Right, right.
The bad boy.
But just like a, you know, the leader and the one with a good head on his shoulders, a big old head. So.
It's funny. I don't now wear glasses, partly because, you know, it's pretty hard to find glasses nowadays in the waist. But when I was three, I had a really serious eye injury, and I was blind in my eye for a little while, and wore an eye patch and everything. And
damn.
Afterwards, I wore glasses until sixth grade because it just took so long for my eyes to heal. And those glasses were ridiculously huge, and it was very, like, worst-case scenario for a 1994 kid wearing glasses, you know? I guess now, it did eventually, as we all know, kind of come back around. They probably would have been cool glasses in later times, but I definitely looked like Chucky, for sure. Like, instead of red hair, it was blonde hair, but otherwise, that was... Yeah, that was me, and I'm sure I thought of myself as a Tommy, but I was a Chucky.
So, listeners, just to paint a picture here, imagine Macaulay Culkin circa Pagemaster. That's basically Mike, only with bigger glasses.
Yeah,
that's basically what Mike looked like.
And Lion King sweatpants or whatever.
Yeah, all Lion King. And Power Ranger shoes. I don't know if you those are Power Ranger light up shoes.
I didn't see that detail. No, but. Yeah. Nick, what about you? Were you,
Well, as a kid, I was probably,
I'm going to say Phil.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, I was like probably one of the twins.
Just cool for school.
Phil and Lil.
But it's so funny when you brought that up, I was thinking about what character I identify with most now. And I'm like, I'm the grandpa.
Yes.
That's like who I am.
The grandpa
now.
Rules.
So.
Now I definitely identify with Stew Pickles, like 100%.
Land without smiles, more like land without brains.
Brains.
What does he say? He's like, oh, I'd rather rot my teeth than rot my brains.
I definitely related to him the most, I think, in this episode as well.
We should get into the actual episode, but yeah, there's so many good grandpa moments that, like, when he's staring at the... When they're at the Megaplex and he's like just staring at the two movies, and he's like, the one he's looking at is like wistfully is like Total Carnage, and it's like a guy with like a bazooka like blowing shit up.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Season 1, Episode 3, our first short, At the Movies, which, well done, guys. Yeah, I like how you tied it in with the show. That's great.
Yeah, I chose this one because it's always fun to see the episode where they go to the movies.
Yeah, and it has
and
that
some
line.
Of you worked in movie theaters in the before times.
Yeah.
You know what? You mentioned this came out in 91, and the focus, the big thing that gets Tommy so excited and all the kids so excited in this episode is that Tommy sees a commercial for Raptar. So I got to wonder if this episode was... Oh, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. I was going to say, was this episode maybe partially inspired by Jurassic Park? But Jurassic Park didn't come out till 1993. This would have been 1991, so...
This episode inspired Jurassic Park.
I'm just going to say, they ripped off Rugrats.
Well, it's kind of funny, because around this time, I too... I think that's why you related to it so much, was so obsessed with fucking Godzilla.
Dinosaurs. Oh, Godzilla.
And,
okay.
Just Godzilla, and like I had like a setup in my backyard of Godzilla toys and a garden that wasn't being used, and like I was like, oh yeah. I knew right away. I don't know how young I was when I first saw this, but
like, I love like, that like that so this episode opens with basically Rugrats or Reptar, like an ad for Reptar on the TV, and Tommy like just seeing it and just being like, whoa. And I love that, like, how this captures, because I love Godzilla as a kid, I love Same. Dinosaurs as a kid, even before I saw Jurassic Park, and this episode, like, totally captures that, like, child wonderment in gigantic things destroying other things. I'm curious how you felt about the kaiju representation, Nick, as a kaiju fan yourself. I mean, this is kind of, is this what it was like for you as a child? Did you connect to the wonderment?
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, I had a Tommy moment for sure watching this. But it's I think the show does a good job, like you were saying, just a kid. It's so easy to get kind of obsessed instantly with something just by like an iconic image or something, like just something just clicks in your head and you're like, Reptar.
Reptar is such a good name,
you're
too.
Just a zombie of the commercialism. It is just so potent. And I really got a kick out of that. And then I like that the whole episode, like, you get moments where they're in the line and he sees a poster and he gets like triggered again. Like his Reptar switch gets activated. So
he's just like, I think Reptar's here. I saw these pictures on the front of the building, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it that he feels that it's like an actual thing. You know what I mean? That it's not like it's not necessarily a movie. Reptar is just like, you know, a thing walking around. It's like, yeah,
and it'd
I
be cool
that.
To watch him.
What
walk,
a good
walk
name,
around.
Reptar, too.
I just thought it'd be in the same room with him.
Reptar is a great name.
Yeah.
Just when you thought it was safe to visit New York, here comes Reptar!
Reptar?
He's big, he's green, he's mean, and he's back! He's Reptar!
Reptar?
And this time, he means business! Rated MGR, minor guidance recommended. Now playing at theaters everywhere, including the West Side Octoplex.
Up we go, champ!
Yeah, time to go. Oh, cheer up, Tommy. Tonight we're all going to the Octoplex to see your first movie.
Yeah, it's just the best thing when he's watching that TV and Stu picks him up and he's just like, Reptar! He's like, yeah, Rip-Rap.
I love the interaction between the parents and the kids, like that when, you know, because as the viewers we get to hear both lines of dialogue, but then when we see what they each other, which what each other's hear, like, yes, yeah, 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 yes, Tommy, yeah,
That was, you know what, that was my favorite line of the episode, where that's a moment that an adult could relate to, because he's just hearing the baby go, man, man, he's like, yeah, buddy, indeed. That was my favorite line from the episode.
Yeah, I mean, so he sees Reptar on the TV, and it's an ad for the Reptar movie, and coincidentally, they're all on their ways to the Megaplex
to see Tommy's first movie.
Yeah, Tommy's first movie. I love this.
I wish I could remember my first movie.
I was all ready, too, to be like, oh, they're going to, like, ruin the theater experience for everyone. This is like, bringing a baby to a theater, but they're going to the movie The Land Without Smiles, which is like a Care Bears kind of thing.
Rip off, yeah.
Clearly one of those theaters, you know, it's just full of screaming babies. It's just like, I imagine the theater for Land Without Smiles is just a disaster.
Well, yeah.
Ryan, maybe this is what you're about to say. Sorry to cut in. Like, I was having flashbacks to cleaning goddamn, like, baby screenings, you know, like.
Oh, God.
What would have been the movies that, in your time, in your service, of the theaters, what would have been the equivalence of The Land Without Smiles, where you're like, oh, this is just going to be babies.
Madagascar!
Well, this is a higher quality movie, probably, but we had Finding Nemo for like a year, and it was always, it didn't matter what time of day it was. It could have been the
midnight
11
showing.
O'clock in the showing, or like, yeah, like the 9 o'clock showing. It was just trashed. It was just like, and at a dollar theater, they overly trash it, I feel like. They're like, they don't get it. And so they just, Finding Nemo was just like, it took
what does trashed mean? Like, what's, describe for the uninitiated,
like,
what the
popcorn,
scene is.
They just dump it. They just like, don't even put like the popcorn on the ground.
They're
in a bag.
I'm done with this.
They don't even set it on the ground. They like throw it.
Yeah, or like just everything is scattered, just like not even like in a box or a bag easy to pick up.
I just imagine a kid just like putting his Yeah. I just imagine a kid like sticking his arm out like with a box of Milk Duds and just like rotating it and just dumping all the Milk Duds out on the floor, just sort of staring at it blankly.
Well, it was like
before he does that, he's like, "I'm done." And then just,
my work here is done.
Like, there's a moment in the show episode where the baby's like trash like the concession stand. It was like that. Like it was like the, in real life though. In
I imagine Ryan walking into the theater. There was probably a lot of this.
Yeah,
I was walking through. You know,
I was laughing to myself when I was watching this episode because I thought I know that some of you had worked at the theater, and I'm like, oh, this is probably like giving you like Vietnam flashbacks.
Well, I don't know if you noticed if you looked over where I was sitting, but I was shaking. I was like, no.
Oh yeah, I mean. Because weren't you a projectionist?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a part like, we're kind of skipping to the end, but there is definitely a part that I was thinking. I was looking over to Ryan, like, is this like your? So I mean, we should say so. They're watching The Land Without Smiles, which is like saccharinely
bullshit movie.
It's so good. It's like
Land Without Brains.
The Mark. I don't know if maybe the magic of editing we can put this under here, but the Mark Mothersbaugh music for this fake movie is so good. and yeah, it's like it's just yeah, it's the dumbest thing. And yeah,
did you ever see the Care Bears movie? Did you guys ever see that?
Yes.
No.
I used to watch that at my grandma's house.
I had it on tape too.
Is this accurate? Is this like
yeah, same thing.
All I knew about the Care Bears was those were the gummy bears I would buy when I went to the Dollar Theater. I remember the Dollar Theater had Care Bears gummy bears.
Mm.
And it was the blue, bright, you know, the bright blue box. Mm-hmm. You remember, Ryan? Yeah, you're shaking your head.
So they're watching this dumb movie, and their parents are all into it. But the kids...
Which is baffling.
Well, I kind of love that, though, that as a kid, I related to that like, these dumb, like... I was thinking, like, I don't want to watch Care Bear movie. I want to watch Godzilla. Like, well, and that's what these kids are like. Hey, so I saw Reptar.
Well, what's kind of funny about that whole parents all crying and being all into it? It reminds me of that's kind of one of the major complaints lately with Pixar movies is like, are these for kids or are they just kind of like for adults? Like to watch these movies, you know, these cartoons, and that they're so emotional and all this stuff, and it's kind of remind me of a little bit, like this sad ass cartoon with the bears, and there's like a dying, blonde girl on like on a cloud bed, like
wish I knew if Princess Bear would have lived.
Yeah. So it's sort of like it's almost like it's not for the babies in a weird way.
It's an interesting point. You guys are making me remember something. So I don't know if your parents, if your guys' parents did this. Mike, you're an only child, right?
Yeah.
So Ryan and Nick, maybe you guys had this experience, but when my parents took me and my brother to the movies, they would bypass this entire problem and say, all right, you guys are going to see this movie. We are going to see this movie. And I would just go with my brother, who's
how old were you? How old was your were
he's 7 years older than I am, so admittedly he's like, you know, a teenager, so I guess it's okay. But they just bypassed that whole problem. Did you guys have like Mike, Ryan, Ryan, Nick? Did you guys have that similar thing? Your parents did that?
No, not for me. That wasn't. I don't think I was trusted enough.
You're going to see Land Without Smiles and you're going to like it.
I mean, I'll say to my parents' credit, they took me to cool movies. Like, you know, I don't remember like, oh, I don't want to go see Land Without Smiles, man. Like,
or in Ryan's case, it's like, I want to see Muppet Christmas Carol. This is bullshit.
Not Aladdin. Bullshit. I was so pissed off.
Wasn't there a time where you had to choose between Lion King and another movie, Ryan?
Oh, it was Aladdin and Muppet Christmas Carol, and I was just like, fuck Aladdin. And I was just like,
wow.
That's funny. I mean, there was probably times where we split up, but not too often. I mean, I remember specifically a time where there was a family friend. I was going to the movies with their family. And I remember we went, me and my buddy Nathan went and saw the fucking Disney's Dinosaur, which doesn't exist. And his parents went and saw Eyes Wide Shut. And
Whoa.
That's
talk about Land Without Smiles.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. It happened, but not too often. My mom would go to a lot of movies, but I can't remember, like, going to, like, little kid movies too often with not really. I would say they would go with us probably to see something. We wouldn't see Aladdin, though.
Speaking of Aladdin, I distinctly remember seeing Aladdin with my parents. But Aladdin's one of those movies where, I mean, we can say it's a perfect movie. I mean, it appeals to, you know, Robin Williams is doing stuff for adults, and like a kid's not going to understand the Jack Nicholson impression. You want to coax a little lady, you got to be a smooth talker. You got me. You know, like, a kid's not going to know what the fuck
But the kid's going to know that that's something, and that's funny.
It's like, oh, he's doing a funny thing, you know.
Like, that is something, you know, funny.
But it's interesting.
Like, knowing us, we probably knew because of, like, Batman or something. You
that's
know?
True.
Oh, it's Jack Nicholson.
but the concept, it seems like we're kind of alluding to, like, maybe I don't know if maybe you guys think this, but the idea of, like, a parent's, like, saying, all right, you guys go over here and see your baby movie. We'll see our adult movie. Like, maybe that's not the best parenting, but that kind of got me thinking about that. But it's interesting, in this episode, I was kind of getting vibes and maybe this can just be dismissed by it's just plot contrivance. They got to find a way to get the babies out of the theater so they can run amok. But I was kind of thinking, like, is this this is episode 3 in season 1. We're a few episodes in. Is this episode suggesting that maybe the parents aren't that great at parenting?
For the show to work, they kind of have to not pay attention to their kids.
That's the thing. I'm wondering, like, because I'm jumping in episode 3, so I don't know what happened in the previous two episodes, but I'm assuming that based on the other episodes we watched that the parents aren't that great at parenting, which is, you know, it's fair to say, because parenting is hard. Like, I'd like to see you guys do it, motherfuckers, you know.
They have a hands-off approach.
I think that the show makes a more realistic approach to the parents. Like, they aren't shitty parents.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call them shitty, but, like, I would say, like, if they become so enraptured by a movie called Land Without Smiles that they don't notice all, like, what is it, like, five children crawl out of the theater.
I don't know if we've mentioned this, but the Land Without Smiles. That sucks. Whole thing is the franchise that's under in the show is called the Dummy Bears.
Oh, that's a franchise in the show. This comes back.
Yeah.
Wow. The Rugrats cinematic universe, man. Wow. All right.
But I'm reminded more of what you're talking about. I'm reminded of kind of like in the style of like a Home Alone, where you know, just kind of circumstance. Like even another episode where we watch where. Apparently the kids get left with the Lipschitz doctor. We're skipping ahead, but it's the same kind of thing. Like, they lose track of the kids. So they're just constantly losing track of their kids.
That's how they get locked in stores.
Yeah. Most of the time they don't know they're gone, though. It seems like a lot of the time, like, they just don't.
Mainly it got me thinking, because again, this is the first episode we watched, 3 episodes in, and I'm kind of, there's a moment later in this episode, in this segment at the movies when they're in the snack bar, they're trashing shit, and there are literally two attendants just right on the other end of the counter, and they're not, it got me wondering, like, is this like a conceit of the show that basically adults have no peripheral vision and very bad hearing?
I think it's just, the baby, you know, it's a whole, the baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. You
know? It's a baby's world out there.
It's their own world, you know. Most of the time, I think, like, the adventures they get into is more the imagination.
Okay.
But the thing is like, a lot of times they'll be, like, stuck in a garage. Like, there's an episode where they're thinking they're going to the Grand Canyon. And they're in a, what happens is the car breaks down and they're at a mechanic shop. And the babies think that the Grand Canyon, but they're just in the garage with, like, tires and shit. And they're, like, imagining that they're at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an episode, I think, where they think they're going to outer space when they're just in, like, an RV trailer.
Yeah, like a camper in the front, you know. But it's almost just like, I mean, you would go off and, I mean, I don't know if this is your case, but, you know, you go off and play without your parents knowing what you're doing. And you kind of just... I mean, they are babies, or maybe, but, you know, I don't know. They're just doing their thing.
Well, no, it just got me wondering, because, you know, I'm coming at this from perspective of someone who hasn't watched Rugrats in decades, so I don't really remember a lot of the tropes of the show, so it just got me wondering, like, how bad of parents are they, you know what I mean, like, or the adults in general.
That's a funny question. Now that you bring it up, I'm thinking about more of the idea that they don't have peripheral vision. I think that's kind of funny. because those kids that are working in the Megaplex that are like
they're right there.
Yeah, but those aren't adults either. Those are like, you know, teenagers too. So it's like after you get like 10, you lose your peripheral vision.
Yeah, those guys are all grown up.
Yeah, they were all grown up.
Hey, man.
They're hey, like, man, I like the slammer board, man. We'll forgive you, man.
No, yeah. Nick, it's all about the Grody board.
No way. Beanie boards are by far the coolest.
You lie. Beanies are bogus. Grody boards rule.
Oh, forget you.
Forget you too, man.
I love those voices.
They're really the voice good.
Something about, I wasn't meant to bring this up earlier, but something about all the voice choices in these and the actors, like, it's like, I feel like it's the most matched voices to the characters in any animation ever, I feel like. If that
yeah,
makes
that
sense.
And
like,
the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah. Like, it's like that, those cartoons are saying those voices. Like, there's not people doing them. Like, it's just like, that's their voice, which
yeah,
is really cool.
They drew the characters and then the sounds just come out.
Yeah.
But like, I think you're absolutely right. Like, the voice work in this show is stellar.
I love Stu's voice. Like, for some reason, he always reminded me of, like, Ben Stiller. He looks like Ben Stiller a little bit.
Yeah, I could get that vibe.
Dee Dee's great. We kind of mentioned it, that Elizabeth Daly is Tommy, which she was also Buttercup on Powerpuff Girls. And then this is the best part. So Christy Cavanaugh was Chucky, who was also Dexter in Dexter's Lab, and she's Babe in the first Babe. But Elizabeth Daly plays Babe in Babe Pig in the City. So Chucky plays Babe in the first one, Tommy plays Babe in the second movie.
Weird.
Isn't that weird?
Time is a flat circle, man. What the hell?
Isn't but that weird?
Chucky has my favorite voice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was speaking of Chucky. Did you guys get any Ron Weasley vibes off him? I was thinking Ron Weasley the whole time with this character,
just because he has red hair.
Well, this is like no, like I honestly felt like watching this. I was struck by, like, suddenly I'm like, I've seen these mannerisms before, these facial expressions.
Maybe Harry Potter is just up, like, maybe that's, it's just Rugrats aged up.
I'm thinking Rupert Grint, who played Ron Weasley, was probably a Rugrats fan. He would have been the right age, and I feel like he was channeling Chucky for his performance.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not in the voice, obviously, but just like the imagine Ron Weasley, like, a side by side, Ron Weasley and Chucky, you know, like doing a scared face, like.
Yeah. Are you fan casting for the live action Rugrats with Rupert Grint?
Yeah, Rupert Grint would play the all grown up version of Chucky for sure.
There's something you guys were referring to with the Vietnam flashbacks working in the theater. Which basically happens, the babies are looking for Reptar and they end up in the projection booth and blah, blah, blah.
They go to see different movies and you see.
Yeah, that's
clips.
Cool. There's like, you get to see.
They
like
see Eyes Wide Shut.
You see the kissing movie that I always imagine. Like, one of the theaters they go into is like people kissing.
Taxi Driver.
And I always imagine it's like some like arty foreign film or something, because there's like some guy who sounds like he's like from New York or like a first generation immigrant who's like, down in front. I just imagine, like, you know, real patrons of the arts types trying to watch this snobby.
I'm trying to watch Brooklyn here. I love Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah. At the end, though, when there's like a couple walking out of it, right?
Yeah.
They didn't even give us our money back. Right when you're about to find out if the guy's a ghost, the picture just goes black.
Worst theater I've ever been to.
You're telling me the popcorn here tastes like soda pop.
And so, never come in this theater ever again. Like, they're kind of like, you know, that.
Well, yeah. So they get in the projection booth. Yeah, you see Taxi Driver, who is like, "You talking to me?" And they're like "No, I'm not talking to you. Talking to Tommy."
Well, he's like a banana, which is kind of funny.
That is funny.
I thought it was for a second Bruce Willis, like before he started saying, "Hey, you talking to me?" Like the character on there.
They see like an Indiana Jones thing too.
Right? Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, and then they destroy. This is back in the time when it was all projection, and there was like reels and stuff. And there's like, was this what it was like, Ryan? Was there like one big room where it was like all the reels, kind of?
Well, it was more of a, in my theater, it was a big hallway, like a big long hallway where there'd be like, you know, just like, there's eight screens. So there's basically like kind of four on each side of the hallway. But this happened to me.
And this is true. Is this accurate? Like, so when they go into the projection room, there's one guy running it and he's just like sitting reading comics. Is that like...
Most of the time I would probably be drinking the free cherry Coke, talking to the girls at the concession stand while the movies were playing up there. And then
you weren't even in the projection booth?
And then someone would come out and go, something's wrong with the movie. And then I would run up the stairs and it'd be
You weren't even in the booth.
You know?
You weren't even in the projection hallway. You were that
asshole.
The cartoon
worker was better than you, Brian.
Seriously, you were that asshole who was arguing with the guy at the concession stand about the fucking boards.
Well, what happened one time with me was I probably told this story is that I was breaking down Cold Mountain, onto the reels.
Yep.
And it was on. And so how it would usually work is this movie, this kind of like has like the reels on tables. It was more like big platters in real life. But basically the platter fell off the whole table and it was like, it took like a week or 3 days to clean up basically. Cause it was just, the film was everywhere. It just like explodes just like that in this show. And yeah. I watched Ella Enchanted, which was basically The Land Without Smiles or whatever the hell, like 100 times, basically.
As you're rewinding the film on the thing.
Yeah, because you couldn't just rewind it back on. You had to basically like do a little bit and then straighten the film out because it would curl up. Oh. You know, like the film would curl. And so you basically had to like run it up and down the hallway to like stretch it out, basically.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's a question for you. Since you were I never made it to the esteemed role of projectionist.
I was like 16. It was a doll. It was just like it was the Wild West at this theater. You know.
Well,
like,
let me ask you this, Ryan. Since you had the job, you have the firsthand experience. So that was one. You were working on one like 2.5 hour or more movie, and you said it took you 3 days.
It took like 2 days, but it was like I basically came in on a Saturday and a Sunday to like,
oh wow,
to like fix okay it, basically.
So that's how long it took to rewound one movie.
Yeah.
How long do you think it would have taken you to fix the situation caused by the Rugrats in the projection booth?
Yeah, that would probably shut down the theater.
That's what I was thinking.
The theater's
like,
closing
is this
for
theater
good.
Shut down after this.
Like they need all new reels probably because they're all ripped up and there's probably no way to fix it. Like, one time we had, every once in a while, something gets, like, screwed out. Like, say if something happened, like a brain wrap, where the theater, the film melts like it does in Rugrats. So, like, basically the ball burns that part of the film, and so you can't, like, use that. So you have to cut that part out of the movie. And usually, it might only be, like, a second, you know, kind of thing. But you could see it sometimes, usually. Usually, if you try to hide it, when you were taping the film back together and make it like on an edit so it doesn't look so jarring.
Is that where you put like a flash of like a boob in there or something?
Yeah, that's where you put the boob in there, yeah. Yeah, so it's, it was a great job, but I don't know. I wish, it's crazy, it doesn't really exist that much anymore, really, except for like art house theaters that still have a projection. But
that's cool.
Well, it was cool. It was a good job for a 16, 17 year old for sure.
You often pined for that job. You bring it up a lot.
Well, yeah, it's
that
great.
Dollar theater. It sounded amazing.
Well, it was just like, it was one of those weird things. Like, in the, I mean, at the time you think it's awful, and I made like $5.15 an hour. So
cherry Coke has never tasted so sweet.
Yeah, it was just popcorn and cherry Coke for like a year is all I ate.
Oh,
basically.
God.
Not to mention getting laid in the broom closets with those concessions.
That was not
rolls.
Quite me, but there's other people that got laid in the broom closets. That was a wild
He was
time.
Drinking cherry Coke in the broom closet.
Well, do you guys have any other thoughts on At the Movies, or should we move on to the next short?
It was fun. It's a fun little episode, I think. And I think this first season, because the animation really does change, I think, and then to the
does it get a bit more polished? Seasons.
Well, I don't know if you remember. Did you watch the season two episode, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. So in our second episode, we delve into season two of the show.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a big change. I mean, it's...
I think it is. It's huge. Like, the lines are so much thicker, I feel like. Like, it's smoother.
It just looks a little cleaner.
Yeah. And then I think... But I think this first season is a little bit more quiet, if that makes sense. Like this episode and the next one.
Do you mean like less dialogue?
Like, yeah, less dialogue and more just like the music and more of just like...
The animation?
We should go to the next one then. Yeah, the next... unless you guys have anything else to say. Because that one is like a fucking fever dream, literally.
Yeah, so...
Well, let's get into it. Slumber Party.
Like all good Nicktoons, Rugrats is like two shorts in one. And the second one is Slumber Party, which is basically Tommy getting really sick for the first time and hallucinating.
Which is awesome.
It is. I love this.
And let's not forget, his illness is not caused by just natural causes. It's just like...
It's from our introduction. We get our introduction to Angelica, everyone's favorite little girl. And it's funny, like, I have a memory with Angelica, just that name in general. I remember, this wasn't too long ago, actually, Cody and Jenna had come into the store, if you guys recall. If you guys don't remember, Jenna is Cody's Tara wife. They are now married. But I remember her saying, somehow Angelica got brought up. I think somehow I was like reminiscing of like past girlfriends, and I had once like briefly dated a girl named Angelica. And I remember Jenna saying, like, she was just shaking her head and just like, I don't trust anybody named Angelica.
Yeah. It's that's funny. It was, growing up, Angelica.
It was because of this show, Angelica. It like seared into her head that Angelica is a person not to be trusted.
I believe it. Like, growing up, Angelica, like, growing up, especially as a Rugrats stan, Angelica was like my go-to, is just like the worst. Like, this show does a good job of really selling that, like she is a great... antagonist, I'd say.
It's like, if they were to make like best villains of all time, like Darth Vader, Hans Gruber, Angelica Pickles. I had a cat named Angelica, actually, and a cat named Chucky. I forgot about that. So,
did you name the cats?
I named the cat Angelica. Chucky was named before I was born, but it wasn't named after this. It was just a coincidence.
Your mom was a big fan of the film Child's Play.
Yeah. Charles, you know, Charles for short.
Yeah. He wanted to name the cat Charles Lee Ray, you know, with a full scope. But you know. Anyway, Slumber Party. This is, well, I thought was interesting about this, like right off the bat. I thought it was weird that, so Angelica is actually Tommy's
cousin.
Cousin, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I never realized
Tommy's Tommy's dad is Stu, and Stu's brother.
Yeah.
Angelica's Stu's brother's daughter.
Okay, yeah. So I never realized that they had that familiar connection. I think in my memory it was twisted, and they were just like a family friend or something, and Angelica was their daughter.
It's funny because she is like instantly a little shit. Like, I'm thinking of like when they're
right,
going
just
to
did a spit take. He almost did a spit take. Oh,
I'm thinking of like when they're going to bed, and because the whole thing is like as soon as they're having their first slumber party, and Angelica's like, Tommy, like, you're such a baby, and just like ragging on him for being like a baby. And Angelica's like three, so she's like old and wise. She doesn't wear diapers. She's potty trained, and like
I feed myself.
I love it. They like
I know. I love that
they go to put him down for nap time, and. So
at
Angelica,
3:15 p.m. Did you catch that?
It's nap time. They're not going to bed. It's a respectable nap time.
No. She said, didn't she say Betty by time?
No, it's nap time.
It was nap time. Okay, so that was different.
And so
I was going to say 3:15. Mom, get the hell out of here.
They're just taking a nap. And but like Tommy's being tucked in, he like looks over through the crib and sees Angelica like mimicking like a bottle, like drinking a bottle, like, yeah, you fucking dumbass, like,
you dumb babies.
The only thing the bummer about the episodes we watched, we didn't get a glance at Angelica's mom, the babiest, I must say.
Well, are they didn't you mention before that Angelica's like it was like a 90s representation of a lesbian?
I didn't say
was
that.
Was that a different character? Was that a different mom?
That's Phil and Will's mom.
Phil and Will's mom.
Oh, okay, okay, gotcha. Okay.
She's like a feminist.
Feminist, but. Yeah.
She's kind of yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm gonna say, but she kind of has that vibe, I suppose.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, she's like a she could be like a stereotype of like a lesbian, I guess. But that's different characters.
So we didn't see, you mentioned we didn't see Angelica's mom, but what is she like?
She's like she's a stereotype of like a career a woman who's like,
okay,
she's
so shoulder pad, Hillary Clinton's shoulder pad.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton's like
she
not
looks
a bad,
just like Hillary Clinton.
Not a bad way to go. She's always on the phone with Jonathan, who's like her assistant, and just like always, and she had a cell phone. I feel like that was like the first time I like thought of a cell phone as like a thing was her in Rugrats. But she's always just like screaming at Jonathan.
Okay. So Ryan just pulled up a picture in the Chatterpedia. So she has like the ponytail and it looks,
she
like,
kind of looks like, what's her name from Better Call Saul? Kim.
Kinda,
you watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, in retrospect, Angelica's mom is pretty cool. Like, I like her.
But yeah, I think her dad's kind of the one running the show, or not running the show, but
spoiling,
to take care, spoiling Angelica because she's crazy.
And so Angelica opens the door, or opens the window. The window. While they're taking a nap, and a cool breeze rolls in, and Tommy ominously like shivers and shakes, and gets sick. He gets sick from it.
You are setting this up as if Tommy dies later in the episode.
Hey, he was close. It seemed like he was pretty close to death's door.
Yeah.
And this is when we get our fever dream, our fever-induced delirium.
Well,
and
we don't first, say, before cool the fever game. Delirium comes in, he's like kind of ill and they're eating dinner. And that's when his mom realizes like, oh, I'm going to put you to bed early. But that is some great Angelica lines too, where she's like, she's annoyed that they're paying attention to Tommy because he's like not looking great. And she's like talking about like, well, I could stay up. Sometimes I stay up till 9 o'clock. The mom was just like, that's nice, honey. Puts Tommy to sleep, and then Tommy starts tripping.
Yeah, he
and
trips
great. Like, I love the character designs here. Like, so basically, Angelica's the devil, which makes sense. But then we later get, as the parents come in and check on him, like, it sort of takes on this, like, I guess sort of a Betty Bye type.
Like a mobile, the thing above him, where they're all like stars, and one's like a plane.
Like the mom comes in, she's the moon, right?
Yeah,
the
moon.
The dad is the cloud. The grandpa is the plane.
Oh, when Stu morphs into the cloud and like the rest the rest of the place is still normal. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool animation.
That's pretty
stuff
funny
in this
when
episode.
It's still normal and like the plane comes running down the hallway.
You know? Oh yeah, the grandpa's the plane.
Ah, you two call that doc every time the little fella's got a hiccup. Now in my day,
hey Bob, why don't you get the thermometer?
Thermometer? Why, the boy's just got to chill. All you got to do is hold him upside down.
Never mind, I'll get it.
Now just get some applesauce and an old sock big enough for his head.
Bob,
let him finish.
I was just saying. You turn him upside down and then feed him the applesauce.
I remember that one. There was applesauce everywhere.
Maybe we could try it.
We're not doing the applesauce. It didn't work then, it doesn't work now. Anyway, the doctor said not to worry, just give him his baby drops and call in the morning.
Maybe Chucky came over and opened his window.
Found it.
You kids just didn't have the stomach for the applesauce cure.
Not the applesauce cure.
Why, in my day, we had to walk...
How many miles, Pop?
15 miles to school, for your information, in the snow, with no shoes.
Come on, champ, here we go.
This is always, like, one of my favorite parts of animation, fever dream.
Yes.
Animation. Like, it's a favorite cartoon trope of mine. I remember as a kid really enjoying... I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie, but Beavis and Butthead Do America. there was that there was that sequence, like the crazy thing where like they're in the desert, they're starving, and like Beavis like grabs like this cactus and just like takes a bite out of it, and he starts freaking out, and we get all this crazy, I forget the bands, it was kind of inspired by like a few bands, I think, I don't remember which offhand, but like it's this crazy fever dream, and there's like almost like heavy metal-esque animation going on, and crazy things like chicks with big boobs and stuff like that. But it's always like a favorite cartoon mainstay of mine, the hallucination sequence. And this one, and this one does good within the realms of Rugrats, I think. Like, it's child-friendly, but also it can get a little trippy. I like that.
It's kind of frightening. Like, the first thing Tommy sees is his crib getting long, and then this the clown lamp starts, like, jumping and dancing towards him. And the music
Poltergeist
is all, like, pretty gnarly. Like, it's unsettling,
yeah, it's
for sure.
Yeah.
Is it the music I remember is like boop ba boop ba boop ba doo 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 doop ba boop ba boop.
He's going wild. He's like at, like those xylophones and those little toy things he's using.
Mark
like,
Mothersbaugh. It's like I imagine he's just like got a million 1990s digital synths that he's just, one of the things that he loves using in this that is my favorite is the keyboard that is like a digital version of someone. Like an acapella, like bop bop bop. So he just has it tunes to like all the different notes, or like bop 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 bop.
I don't know if we really got into that, but yeah, I really like the music in this show. And Ryan, you have the Chattopedia pulled up on Rugrats, right?
Yes.
So you mentioned the composer Mark Mothersbaugh.
Mark Mothersbaugh. Yeah. He's Mark Mothersbaugh. Come on, Dave. You know Mark Mothersbaugh.
I don't know that name. I was going to ask.
Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo. He also he does.
That's who it's from.
He also, not just Devo. He also scores.
That could have been enough, Mike. You could have just stopped with Devo, and I would have been like, what?
Let me give you two things about this guy's career. One ends of the spectrum. Devo on one end. On the other end, he's the guy who scores all the Wes Anderson movies.
Really? Wow.
And like a million other things. He's done a lot of video games.
You guys are forgetting a big one. Halloween Town. He did the
Halloween
score
Town
for.
Ryan, why don't you just go off and start some sort of a Disney Channel movie podcast?
I will.
Ryan, do you have the Mothersbaugh entry for Chattopedia?
I do.
What are some big hits that we're missing? Because I'm sure there's like a million.
Right before Rugrats, he did some music for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, sounds right.
He had a bunch of Nickelodeon stuff like Rocket Power. Lately, he's done stuff like Regular Show. And let's see other movies he's done here. Yeah, you got all the damn, a lot of the Wes Anderson stuff. Let's see here. What other things? He did some other big ones I wanted to kind of mention. But yeah, Devo is probably the biggest thing.
He's great. Mark Mothersbaugh is like...
He's
the best.
He tells a funny story of on the Mark Maron's podcast where John Lennon happened to see them play pretty early on, and he was talking about how that song, I forget what's the name of that song, that he's basically playing off of She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a kind of a spoof, not a spoof, but like a sort of a reference to it a little bit. And he said that he didn't see John Lennon until he was sitting in a car in the back of the theater, and he happened to walk by John Lennon, the limo or the van or whatever, and he stuck his head in and went, yeah, 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 yeah. Like John Lennon, like... like knew he was like referencing him, kind of thing.
He
and that was like his own only interaction with him.
I just want to add he did for video games. He did all the Crash Bandicoot games. He also did Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that was
a
recent
one. I love that score. Oh man.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He knows.
Damn. All right.
He knows what's up.
Well, we haven't. So there's one thing. So basically, this whole episode or this whole short slumber party is just a fever dream, and that's the cool stuff. But there's one little thing that, and this will actually bleed into our next episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse on Rugrats. Dr. Lipschitz. His name is dropped in this episode, and Again, I want to compliment Mike and Ryan and Nick for choosing these episodes, for curating these episodes of the Rugrats for us on Saturday Morning Apocalypse, because you guys did a I don't know if this was intentional, but you guys did a perfect job of segueing these episodes one from the other.
Yeah, so
because
in their,
they set up Dr. Lipschitz in this episode.
Yeah, they're talking amongst themselves, trying to think of what to do with a sick baby. Grandpa's giving great sage advice. He's like, back in my day, we just tip them upside down naked and spoon them applesauce. And they're all
like, had to walk 15 miles in the snow.
I love the kids' response, like the grandpa's kids, Stu, and I think it's Drew, and they're like, yeah, the applesauce never worked, Grandpa. It never worked once. But yeah, Lipschitz is the, they're like, we should consult the Lipschitz guide. Consult the, who's basically like he's like a self-help guru kind of, but for parenting, you know, there's these things where I feel like they were definitely popular in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was maybe peak popularity for these things. Like you buy the VHS tape with the corresponding book and like, here's my guide on how to whatever, parenting in this case.
He's sort of like he has to be like a archetype of something, like the kind of,
I don't know if there's one person he's a spoof of, but he's like a Dr. Phil type, you know.
Yeah,
but like the accent and stuff, like there's something he's kind
well,
of
I think he's just German, like he's like a German doctor kind of thing.
But it's a perfect it's a perfect setup for what will be our next episode on our Rugrats retrospective here. And it's interesting too, like the next episode we're going to watch, which is going to be season 2 episode 13. I got to ask you guys, as the Rugrats stands, or at least Mike, does Lipschitz appear prior to this next episode we're going to watch?
I don't think so.
He's just talked about.
I'm pretty sure this is
a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
he's referenced all the time, but I think this is when you first see him.
Wow, and what an appearance, which we'll get to. But before we wrap things up, did you guys have any other thoughts on Slumber Party?
I have a question. At the very end, so Tommy gets better, and Angelica kind of has like a cool moment where she's like, all right, Tommy, like you barfed a lot. I respect that. I've never seen someone barf. But she says a line that I was like, is this, it's something I remember thinking about as a kid. Like, do I not understand it? Is this like philosophical in some way? But so Tommy's talking about slumber parties and he's like, Angelica, are slumber parties always like that? And Angelica like unlocks the crib, like, whoa, you can do that. Like lets Tommy out, looks back and is like, if you have to ask, you'll never know. And walks away. What does that mean?
You're such an idiot. The first rule about slumber parties is you don't talk about slumber parties.
What does that mean? It sounds like profound in some way. Like,
because she's never been to a slumber party. That's the thing. She doesn't know. Well, she tries to be so cool.
Yeah, this is not the first time that Tommy asks her. He asks her at the beginning of the episode and she says the same thing. And I think it's just her cool way of not telling him, because she
is it just nonsense? Like,
yeah. So it's like,
is it her butchering the thing of like, if you have to ask, you weren't there or something like that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you like, it's a cool way of telling the other person, I know, but you don't, and not, it's a non-answer, but it's a cool non-answer. So you can. I also use that in the courtroom too, Mike.
I think my whole life I've been seeking for me.
I also think, like, what the hell is a slumber party, whatever the hell it is? Slumber party? I guess slumber, like sleeping. But
you never had a slumber party?
Yeah, I know. I guess so. I was thinking of something like.
It's the thing, I was thinking, like, when, what? You know, your friends come over and you take a piece of paper and you do the thing like the. Okay, ask me a question. And how many of this?
No. But I guess just like, why? Yeah, slumber though. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Never mind. I was like, what the hell is a slumber
party?
Like,
is oh, the it's same just, as a sleepover.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of like the word slumber though. Like, what does that mean? But I realized like saying it
Angelica,
out loud. I'm like,
your
oh, it's
husband's
a sleeping
name
party.
Will be. Ryan.
I realized I do know what slumber means.
And his job will be podcaster.
So
podcaster. Oh no.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a weird one. Like I remember seeing this one a lot too, and not really liking it for some reason, but I do like it now. I feel like a lot. Like I watched it a lot, even if I was just like, this isn't my favorite one. I like sick of seeing. I want to see them get into weird adventures. I don't want to see Tommy be sick. But now I'm like, oh, that's just weird and a trip. And
yeah, it's cool.
You know what it's like to take DMT or whatever, you know.
Well, that's going to do it for the first of our two-part look at Rugrats on Saturday Morning Apocalypse. Be sure to leave us a comment or rating. What are your guys' memories? Any fond Rugrats memories? I'm kind of interested. Did anyone out there in the wasteland watch beyond the movie? Did they watch into seasons, you know, 7, 8, 9? Like, did the show take, like, a big steep turn and turn into complete dog shit?
Anyone see him grow up?
Has anybody seen All Growed Up? What's your guys' opinion out there on All Growed Up? Is it a superior show? Let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter at Apocalypse Video. You could also shoot us a message on Instagram at Apocalypse Video, or you can go old-fashioned and shoot us an email at apocalypsevideopod@gmail.com. You want to hear from me.
If you want to send us a letter, it's just Apocalypse Video at Sector 2. I think we're the only address still functioning.
You can put care of Dave, Mike, or Ryan. Either one will get it. We'll get it.
Or if you want to reach Morton Hoof, you can go to Slaughterhouse Palace off Dusty Old Road, Sector 666, and care of Goat Hoof.
I think you can also, if you want to get in touch with Hoof, I found an effective way is just to leave a dying animal out outside and just wait. And someone will show up.
No. What you have to do is leave an old copy of the Herculoids on VHS, like underneath a box, and then you tie like a string to it, and then you pull it, and you make like a trap mechanism, and usually you'll catch him.
Are you trying to trap a Morton Hoof Raiders?
I'm sorry, I'm revealing
all
the Morton Hoof
vulnerabilities. Don't talk about trapping a person who you're trying to trap. With that person,
we better wrap this up. I see Hoof reaching for his waist.
Smart for that, Mr. Hoof. I think you're too smart to get trapped. I think it's more for your raiders that would might be, succumb to that trap, the bait.
Yeah. I'm just, you're right. I'm just doing a security evaluation, Hoof. That's all I'm doing.
Carry on.
But that'll do it for this episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. We'll be right back.
Hold on. Rugrats will be right back.